Good positioning. He didn't see it at all. Here come the Preds. Right side. Sherwood with room. Safe. Seelovs. Rebound. Score! First NHL goal for Luke Evangelista. Preds got the lead to 3-2. 11:29 left in the third. Roman Josi left point. Makes a spin move. Left circle across. Tipped on the way to Duchesne. Barry cranks one and scores. Preds tie the game with 3:05 to go. And Luke Evangelista leads the line. That's back-to-back third period goals for his first two on a tip-in to tie it.
There you go. Welcome into Smashville Live, everybody. We're here in Cool Springs, Brewhouse South. It feels like hockey weather outside. It's a beautiful day, but man, is it cold. Darren McFarland, Pete Weber is in the house tonight. And our very special guest, we do love Pete. And our very special guest, right to left on your radio dial, that's old school stuff, Igor Afanasyev. How did I say that? Did I do good, by the way?
Yeah, perfect.
Good? All right.
What's up, everyone?
Luke Evangelista. Did I do it right, Luke?
Yeah, that was money.
Okay, man. We are off to a great start. Just like this team, right? 8-2-1 in their last 11. Does that get you excited out there in Radio Land?
Yeah. Not only that, but right here in the bar.
Yes. Thank you. Guys, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Feeling great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Great to be here and, had a good win last night, so obviously finishing on a good note.
Guys, you're in the show, man. You're in the NHL. How does that feel?
I mean, unreal. I think we can speak. I can speak for both of us when I say it's a dream come true. I mean, we've been grinding together down in Milwaukee to start the year, so to be here together and get our debuts over the last couple weeks here, it's been really special.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, my first game in LA, felt like I was a little bit in space, obviously, like I told you yesterday, but, obviously those past two games feeling more comfortable and stuff, and the plus we were getting those Ws, feels great.
So for you, Igor, let's start there. This has been a journey, right? I mean, this is where you all want to be, but it can't get here fast enough, and you've had to learn patience, right, this whole experience, and we've seen the video of you getting called in after training camp. You got their attention. They obviously had a lot of nice things to say, but in the end, they had to say, but we're sending you back to Milwaukee. What was that like for you to think about that then to the journey to where you are today?
I mean, obviously, just extra motivation at the end of the day. Like, that's what it gave me. And, obviously getting that call that I'm going to make my first debut, felt amazing. So I think just got to trust the process and work hard.
And so who'd you get the call from?
Scott Nickel, our GM, okay. Down in Milwaukee.
So Scooter gave you the call, and he said what?
He said, welcome to the National Hockey League, kid.
Nice. Those have to be the coolest words ever, right?
Yeah, it was, tears were coming out and stuff, obviously, because, it's my lifetime goal, and playing my first game felt incredible.
I've cheated on Luke's answer because I talked to Luke Karahammer and I talked to Luke on Friday for the podcast. But I got to ask you, because I know Luke's answer because we went through this process for the podcast. When you looked down and you saw who was calling, what did you think this was about? Did you know, or are you always uncertain when you're getting that call?
I mean, I had a couple multiple weeks of pretty good games. We were getting wins down there in Milwaukee, and it was 11:30 at night, Scott Nickel, and I'm like, what the hell does he want, for me? But I kind of figured, I figured Nashville had their game against Arizona, too, at night, so I kind of figured, and when he, talked to me a couple words at first, I couldn't talk and stuff, obviously, but... It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, Luke, that's kind of your story, right? I mean, you kind of knew when Scott was calling you what this is about. You knew the lay of the land, kind of the way you've been playing, what's been going on with the club here in Nashville, and you kind of felt the same way, right?
Yeah. Like what I was telling you a couple of days ago, that when I saw him, call my phone and I saw Scooter was the contact. I just had a good feeling about it. And I like I said, like I was watching too. I was watching Nationals games, and they were kind of shorthanded up front. So I think they played their last game before I got called up with 10 forwards. So
yeah.
I had an idea that someone had to get called up. So I was just really fortunate that it was me.
You know what ruins the fun of all those calls? Modern technology and caller ID. You know, what if you pick it up and don't know who is calling?
That's a good point.
Then what are you thinking?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. But I'm very wondering about you with Igor. What drew you to come across the pond and play in the United States Hockey League before getting drafted in the NHL?
Definitely no goal to be at the end of the day playing in the National Hockey League. You know, I think when I was 15, 16 years old, that's when we started playing on all the international stages and
right.
playing for, you know, national team and stuff. And then I kind of got an opportunity to come over here. And, you know, obviously, if you grow up here and stuff, I think it's you're the closest. You're playing that game, you know, playing that style. So I think it was great for me. And that's something that helped me get here quicker, you know.
Now, in Muskegon, on one of those teams, you had the son of a Russian hockey icon, Igor Larionov's son, playing on that club. Was he as creative as his father?
For sure, yes, definitely. You know, he got injured before playoffs, so didn't get to see him a lot. But for the times when I played with him, he was very creative and stuff. And actually, his dad was there quite a bit.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
none
exactly.
whatsoever. So with you, with London, and the Hunter brothers and the Hunter family running that team, I mean, that's essentially a smaller scale NHL operation.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, what's funny is that Patrick Kane had his jersey retirement while I was in London. And one of the things that he said in front of the whole building was that London was like a mini NHL. It was like a mini NHL organization. So you get treated first class there. And obviously they're pumping out NHL prospects at an awesome rate. So I had an awesome time playing in London.
Now, your number here, it's not the same as London, but if you add up 7 and 7, you get your 14, right?
Yeah, it just worked out like that. I just got a hand at 77, so I'm just doing what I'm told. So I don't know if that's stick around or what, but yeah, no, it looks pretty good so far, I guess.
You're doing well what you're told, got to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the goal right now. Just keep doing what I'm told.
I spoke with you yesterday morning, and you said you genuinely are as happy as you appear to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't stop smiling, even though you had to spend time with a dentist chair today.
yeah, I had to get the tooth pop back in. But no, like I said yesterday to you, I'm legit having like the two best weeks of my life. So no, you're not going to see the smile come off my face.
And how about you, Igor? How much fun has this been for you?
Definitely the same thing. You know, I told Luke yesterday, you know, we get sushi after the game last night. And I was like, are you kidding me?
You know? You don't get that in Milwaukee?
Yeah. No, we don't. But
they get German food in Milwaukee.
It's just, you know, little things like that even. It's incredible, you know, and obviously we can't stop smiling. You know, we're so happy to be here.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, you've been coming here, training camps. We've seen you trying to make the team before you go back into the system pipeline before you get here. You've always had a smile on your face, even when here at training camp. That's the one thing that jumped out. Well, it's not the first thing. The first thing that jumped out is you just never know, right? Igor Afanasyev. You're thinking Russian. Like you just – Pete knows. When Alexander Radulov got here, he came in and did an hour radio, him and Ryan Suter, and – it's an experience I'll never forget because I talked to him before we went on the air, and I realized he only knew about 7 words, and 5 of them were cuss words. So
of course.
He couldn't even say those on the air. So he was very, very limited. And I met you, and, I mean, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. Obviously, your English is great.
So when did you start?
Start what?
Learning the English as well.
Oh. I came over to United States with no English because, you know, overseas we kind of learn English, but
you have to speak it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to have some sort of practice. And you know, I came over here. I went to high school actually for a couple of years, and it obviously helped. You know, I didn't have any Russians in my high school as well, so that's something that helped me because I had to figure it out. You know, I had to figure it out the way.
Did you use movies? I know a lot of people have.
Yeah, shows and stuff, but mostly, you know, walking around school with a translator, you know, and kids were nice too, you know, thank God. So it worked out.
Thank God.
Just so you know, that hour, Ryan did most of the talking in that hour.
Well, I interviewed Alex Radiloff the day he was drafted.
So and, you got the same effect.
Well, less vocabulary than what you experienced. He knew one word. It was dollar.
What was the other two? You said...
That's been a while. I don't remember. It was very broken, and it was very limited. And every time he did jump in there and speak, I'm sitting there, you know, our producer's got his finger on the dump button because you don't know, you know, if there's going to be a lot of expletives coming and they're going to have to dump it and it's not going to go out over the radio waves. But he did fine. Obviously, his English got better. He was a
Much
character.
Better.
His personality was obviously... He just had one of those personalities that you gravitated towards, which honestly reminds me, I want to know where you got that from, because you would just come up and you would just, hi, nice to meet you. I mean, you were so friendly, so social, and it jumped out at me. I mean, the first couple of times I ran into you, you were like 19 years old, and I'm thinking, man, at 19, you know, I was probably shy or
probably
a jack wagon, you know, saying stupid stuff, but you were like so polished, and you would come up. I ran into the elevator. You remembered me, and I was like, this guy's a kid. I mean, I just was kind of blown away at, like, your demeanor. Like, where did that come from?
I have no
Does
idea.
Does that mean, like, your parents, like, growing up, like, or that's just, you know, in your DNA?
Yeah, I guess you got to ask my parents, you know, because I don't know. Thanks for, you know, for those words, but obviously, yeah,
you
I'm
were
not
just,
sure.
Everybody was your friend. That really jumped out to me.
That's just the way I am. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Luke, is that, Luke, that's...
I was just thinking that, actually, like, when I first got to Milwaukee for playoffs last year after my OHL season ended, like, Goat was just an easy guy to get along with, you know. We had similarities in that we both played against each other in the OHL, and so, you know, just shooting it with him and getting to know him, it was easy. So, yeah, he's an easy guy to get along with.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to know these guys more. We'll talk about the play of the team right now, which is spectacular, coming down the stretch. This team is 4 points out from a playoff spot right now. 4 points out. By the way, 5 points from the third spot in the division.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things in play. So we'll step away. We'll let these guys meet some fans. We'll come back. More Smashville Live here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Good tunes, Chase, back at the studio. Back here on Smashville Live, it's brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harp of the Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce. Tequila, a pure and simple. Sounds good to me. Igor, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Darren McFarland, Pete Weber, Igor Afanasyev, Luke Evangelista here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. You should come out here and hang out with us. Ladarius Robinson is our on-site engineer. Cliff, the crew, we'll have questions out there in the audience in just a bit. By the way, there's a registration box if you would like to win some future items. They'll call winners tomorrow if you want to just go up there and scan your code and be eligible. A lot of things to get into, including last night's victory. Those are always tricky, guys. When you come back off a long road trip and you have to play that first game at home, right? Because everybody gets relaxed. When you're on the road, it's you against everybody else. But when you're back at home, everybody's rooting for you. You know, it's a tougher game. But you guys were able to dig deep last night and get a nice win over Detroit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, you know, Coach Hines said that, you know, yesterday morning in our pregame prep about how, you know, we can't let the momentum slip after the road trip. And, you know, we got to kind of keep this going and get as many points as we can to try and make a playoff push here. So I thought we came out yesterday and, you know, did a good job of that, you know, weathering the storm and, you know, ending up with 2 points at the end of the day. So, yeah, it was a big group effort.
John Hines has been using two H words, hungry and hunting, a lot.
Yeah.
When talking about you guys. So what is he talking about when he's talking about you guys playing hungry and hunting a lot? Hunting the puck.
I think hunger about the guys in the locker room, you know, right?
Yeah, I think just with all those young guys and, you know, guys coming up from Milwaukee and trying to, you know, earn jobs
right.
and stay as long as we can. You know, guys like me and Igor here, we're just trying to earn one game at a time, stay as long as we can. So I think that's kind of where the hunger factor comes in.
Well, and if you get the sushi, you're really not that hungry though, right?
Man, the sushi is such extra
after games?
Motivation.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
But you're hungry before you get the sushi.
Yeah, starving.
That's the key.
Yeah. For sure, definitely. Yeah, sushi is just a little extra, you know?
So I talked about this with Luke on Friday for the podcast. Everybody has that welcome to the NHL moment. By the way, Luke, you've added another one since then, right, with the hit, right? That's another part that comes with the game, the physicality. But I'm going to start with you, Igor. What has been so far? I know limited time, but have you had your welcome to the NHL moment yet?
Yeah, the sushi. No. I mean, for me, you know, obviously, the jokes aside, like first game, you know, playing in L.A., playing at Staples Center, now they call it Crypto, you know, but Staples Center, we all know it. You know, so much history behind it, and obviously, you know, seeing players, obviously on my side, you know, like Roman Josi, Matt Duchene, playing against guys like Kopitar, you know, Campe, Drew Doughty, just felt amazing, you know, being on the same surface as them.
Luke, and for both of you, that's a very busy building, like Bridgestone Arena. Sorry, had to hydrate. Like Bridgestone Arena, right? There's things constantly going. I think that game against the Kings, was there not a Clippers game earlier in the day?
Yeah,
so I think you had like the Lakers
the night before.
Yeah, the Clippers that day, and then the next thing you know, there's a hockey game that night. That's a challenge for a crew that's having to do all that. They're used to it, but sometimes that can make the ice a little bit tough. How were the conditions? It seemed like it was a little bit of an issue.
I was wondering, what was going on with the ice?
Yeah, it was definitely a little warm in there. Like, you can feel it, you know, when it's warmer in the building, the ice gets a little softer. But at the end of the day, it's the NHL. There's not too much to complain about. So we'll take some bad ice. We don't really care.
Definitely.
So I think people are very happy, obviously, with the outcome of the road trip. But they're maybe forgetting how you guys had to bounce back in OT. In the game in Anaheim on Sunday.
Right.
That was a tremendous show that you guys put on there in the overtime period.
Yeah, I mean, that was a super eventful OT. But, you know, I think we kind of just, you know, giving up two late goals there can get a team down. But I thought we did a really good job of, you know, kind of sticking with it and persevering through some adversity there and, you know, finding a way to get that extra point, which is so critical at this time of the year.
Very critical at this time of year. And seeing 6-on-5, I know, is something a coach just loves to see. Just loves to see the extra guy out there, the goalie pulled, and having to cover those guys.
Yeah. It's a difficult task. We kind of went over it a little bit in our video the next day. Our assistant coach, Danny Hynote, was taking us through it. But, it's a situation, you know, that sometimes, you know, you're not typically used to, especially at this level. So, I guess that was a learning curve for us young guys.
Kiefer Sherwood, that was kind of a cool goal, wasn't it?
The Sunday
goal?
Little bank, yeah. And, you know, whether he called it or not, it's irrelevant. It went in.
It went in the net, yeah. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful for sure.
No, we were happy for him. He's been grinding. We were talking about on the car right here how he's picking up. He's getting hot right now. He's got 3 points in his last two games. So.
Yeah, because he's been in Milwaukee with us, you know, in the start of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing him well. And he's been putting a lot of work in and can be, just happy for him.
Yeah,
It's got to be a pretty smooth transition. I don't want to assume, but I would think for you guys, knowing that you look around the room, there's so much familiarity with the faces. I mean, Tommy Novak, who's also, speaking of on fire right now, do not throw a bucket of water on Tommy Novak. This guy is absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
You guys need him down the stretch, but all these guys, I mean, you've been playing with them. You know, whether it's this year, off and on, Igor, for a couple of seasons, that's got to help, right?
Definitely, yeah. Kevin Gravel, you know.
Yeah, there's another one.
Veteran defenseman came from Milwaukee last night, too. You know, jumped in the lineup, helped us a lot. Obviously, you know, it's great to see some familiar faces.
Yeah, especially in the room, too. I mean, like, when you're a young guy and you're making your NHL debut, and you can be a little starstruck walking into a new locker room, but, you know, to see, like you said, a bunch of familiar faces that, you know, you already got some chemistry with on and off the ice. It just makes that transition easier. So it's really good having all those boys around.
All right, Luke, let's talk out in radio land to the folks here at Brewhouse South about Starstruck. Your first game was against who?
Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Pittsburgh Penguins. They're a young, But yeah, there you go. Cool. Boo. They deserve to get booed. It's a young and up and coming team, right? Oh, no, no.
No,
they
actually got quite.
They got a lot of guys that have been around them for a long, long time. You kind of had an interesting moment in front of the home fans in your first
yes.
NHL game with some guy named Malkin. Have you heard of him, Igor?
I heard of him a couple of times.
You've heard of him? Take us through it. What was that like?
I didn't even tell you this last week, but yeah. the last – Igor texted me, hey, like, congrats on making your debut. Like, I'll be watching tonight. And I said, thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And then he said, oh, and one more thing. Make sure you get a hit on Malkin for me. That was the last text he sent me before the game. And so then that night, yeah, obviously I went out and got a big hit on him there and then was getting chirped by Sidney Crosby on the bench after. So, yeah, did a little bit of everything there.
Igor, thank you for doing that, for inspiring.
No doubt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I do.
What did you guys think of that? Luke and Malkin going at it, and Crosby chirping at him. You got to love it in your first NHL game, and you've got Sidney Crosby. You're under his skin in the first NHL game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't see that coming. But, you know, Barry Trotz, our new GM, told me, you know, don't be in awe of those future Hall of Famers. Just treat them like anyone else. So I think I did a pretty good job of that, I guess.
I remember Trotzy the first year. First time the Predators met the Red Wings, and there were like 8 Hall of Famers in that lineup back at that point in time. He said, guys, don't go out asking for autographs.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what he told me. He told me a story about it was Gretzky. It was the first time that he was coaching, and the boys, they were playing Gretzky, and all of them were asking for autographs and stuff for the game, and then he said that he went out and had 6 points against them, so he told me, Don't be in awe of those guys.
He set the building scoring record that night. Yes, he did. And he was also checked a lot by former Predators assistant coach, now working with us in the broadcast, Brent Peterson. Brent Peterson was a known defensive centerman.
Oh, yeah?
And he grabbed Wayne Gretzky's stick all the time. And finally, Wayne said, you know, I have a lot of these sticks. If you want one, I'll get one for you.
I like that.
Yeah, it's
So, Igor, I don't know, watch. Who was somebody that you, I don't know, idolize is always maybe a too strong of a word, but who did you gravitate towards in the NHL growing up?
Obviously, you know, coming from Russia, my two biggest dad have been Alex Ovechkin and Ilya Kovalchuk. Ilya Kovalchuk, you know, playing for New Jersey, Atlanta Thrashers, but he kind of came back, you know, play at home kind of a bit too early, I would say. Because, you know, he I think he still had a contract in New Jersey.
Yep.
But he came over. But, you know, Ovechkin still playing to this day. And obviously, you know, those two are such a legend and someone I've been looking up to.
Have you ever met him?
So Ilya Kovalchuk, I actually have a picture. I can send it to you later when I was a little guy. And Ovi as well. Yeah, Ovi as well when I was probably around 10 years old. When he was over in Russia. I don't remember what he I think maybe when they had a lockout season.
Yes.
I think he came over there, and I got a picture with him.
Wow. Barry Trotz tells the story when he got to Washington, Ovechkin was late for a meeting, and he benched him. He didn't play him. Ovechkin. Maybe going to go down as greatest ever, one of the greatest we already know, no matter what happens before he's done. And they lost 5-0, and the fans were going crazy. Like, how could you sit your best player? And Barry Trotz will tell you, he'll tell the story of you, sometimes you have to go through this process to send a message to the room like it's not acceptable, not even for the stars. And obviously, Barry will tell you that he believes that that action helped kind of forge them together as a room and obviously go on and win the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, you got to respect that. I mean, you know, nobody's at a higher standard than anyone else. Like, everyone's kind of equal. That's kind of the message that he was sending there, I think. But obviously it worked out. They ended up winning a Stanley Cup. So I think Barry knows what he's doing.
And so who was your guy or guys when you were a kid, Luke?
I watched a lot of Evgeny Malkin highlights, believe it or not. I watched a lot of him. And then I liked Mitch Marner a lot too because, you know, he was kind of a – Greater Toronto area guy and then drafted by London and I got to see a bunch of him growing up when I was younger I used to model myself after him a little bit.
He's really emerging right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, He's been awesome ever since junior, and then he went like fourth overall in the NHL, so people knew he was going to be a star. He's a great player.
All right, we'll step away. We'll let these guys meet some more fans, and we will come back more of Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. It indeed is Smashville Live. Welcome back, Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila, pure and simple. I like my tequila, I'm just saying. Darren McFarland, Pete Weber, not during the show, guys.
Okay.
Not during the show. Right. Like Friday when it's St. Patrick's Day.
I'll get you some green tequila for that day.
Igor Afanasyev and Luke Evangelista in the house with us. By the way, before we get out of here, we will, Gates, we'll save it for the last segment. Last segment, we will go out in the audience. We'll do a little Q&A. Let you guys ask Igor and Luke some questions. You guys have Friday off. I mean, you got a matinee game on Saturday, though. So you'll probably, I mean, you're young,
we'll
you know.
We'll be behaving.
You'll have to behave for St.
Yeah.
Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way, right?
Yeah, no, I'm on
right, because then you'll get a call from Scott Nickel, and that's not the call you want, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the wrong call, yeah, exactly.
So we talked to Luke about you starting off with the first game for you in the NHL at home. So you got to get a taste of Smashville and the fans, and then you went out on the road. Igor, you joined the team, NHL debut, on the road. We talked about at home. What's life like on the road in the NHL?
It's incredible, right, Vane? Like,
yeah, I mean, you go from busing around like 7-8 hour bus rides to, you know,
5 a.m. sometimes.
You're getting up at like 4:30 a.m. to, you know, get on the bus, be at the airport, and then now, you know, the team's got their own private plane. They're flying out at like noon, 1 o'clock. There's all the food you can eat on the plane.
Sushi, sushi.
Hotels, sushi. Yeah, I mean, there's really no complaints in this league. It's been pretty surreal.
Definitely.
Igor?
Yeah, I agree with everything he said, you know. coming from, obviously, you know, the private plane to, you know, the hotels we're staying in. And, you know, I think down in AHL, you know, it's pretty good as well. But it's just, you can feel a difference. Yeah, that's how it goes.
You talked about the experience of going into Los Angeles and playing in that arena, but just life on the road in different buildings you're unfamiliar with. Well, I guess I should ask you, Luke, Mullet Arena?
That was
different,
was
huh?
Yeah, that was weird. That kind of felt like a barn I played in the OHL, like only 5,000-6,000 fans, but they know how to get pretty rowdy there, so it was actually pretty fun.
But you would expect Mullet Arena to be rowdy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it sounds about right, doesn't it?
But I think they had 4,600, I think, at that game against you guys.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's kind of a weird setup, a different setup than what you're used to in this league. But, no, they know how to make it fun.
It seems to be working, though, right?
I mean, they play well there, don't they?
Yeah, they've been playing well there, yeah. And they keep winning. So that was kind of weird. So this road trip for you guys and the success you had, what do you think it can do for you for this stretch run?
Well, I think, like we keep alluding to, that, you know, this playoff push that we're trying to make, you know, you need all the points you can get. And, you know, we won a bunch of games, and even a couple of games that, you know, we didn't win, we took to overtime and got an extra point. So, you know, just trying, you know, kind of take some momentum and keep that confidence going on that road trip. And, you know, we started off hot here at home, got another win last night. So just trying to keep that going, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, I've been part of 3 games so far, and, you know, we won all 3 of them, and I think every game been a 1-goal game.
Yeah, it's really tight.
Yeah, it's really tight, you know, it just shows how competitive this league is, and, you know, it's obviously great that we come with a win.
I wanted to ask you guys about a video I saw from your goaltender in Milwaukee, Askarov.
Oh,
where he's bench pressing the goal cage.
Yeah.
Right after a shootout, as I recall.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up the fight.
No, first I want to do
the bench pressing. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Have you seen when he's shutting down the net after shootout? Yeah. Shutout? Yeah. He's done that too. I mean, I think it's great for the game, you know. Obviously, people are going to have different opinions and stuff. That's how it goes. But at the end of the day, you know, you see a lot of kids now on Instagram and stuff, Twitter.
Yeah.
Little kids from all over the world, you know, who does the same thing. So I think it's great.
No, yeah, he's a character. I mean, you know, like there's three different videos you could have been talking about there.
Yes.
When you said, have you seen that video? Like, he's always going viral. He knows how to, you know, make a brand for himself. So he's an entertainer. He's awesome.
I love that bench pressing thing. I thought that was just beautiful.
That was creative. That was really good.
Yeah. And then the fight? Goalie fights?
I didn't see that. Did you see that coming?
Yeah, I did not see a game against Texas, actually. It was just an intense game in total, you know, but he came out to the center of the ice, you know, come on, baby, waved to the other goalie, and it just went down. It was awesome, you know, got us fired up. You know, all the guys were, it was pretty crazy.
I thought I was going back in time to that Detroit series with Colorado from years ago.
Patty Waugh.
Patrick Waugh and Mike Vernon
going
at each other.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, Luke, you have a little history with Detroit. That's why you are, you know, you got somebody in your family and your bloodlines that you speak to, Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's with the Leafs now, but yeah, he played for the Wings for quite a bit. Won a cup or two there, I think, so yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did win some cups, when they were in the Predators division.
Yeah.
One night, Predators lost their 9-6. It was the night of the tilted ice. All the goals were scored at one end.
Really?
The Zamboni end. And Brendan had the hat trick that night.
Oh, yeah.
They probably had a basketball game at 1 p.m. or something. You know, the ice was a little warm. Yeah.
Had the Pistons played there, that would have been good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Different barns, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. It was. Yeah, they had the Palace. So going back to Askarov, so obviously, I mean, he did come up and have a brief stint with the Preds for, what, a game, right, Montreal?
One game, yeah.
Yep. He could tell he's not lacking personality. I mean, he's got a full personality, so what's he like to be around?
I think he's great, you know, like, especially it's his first year in North America. He didn't know much English coming over. And, you know, now he's like, I told him right away, you can't just be with me, you know, you got to hang around North American guys and, you know, try to speak English with them and stuff. And I think that's what he's been doing. And I think that's why he's having success on the ice too, because he's confident around the guys in the room.
Yeah, I can attest that. Like, he's a ton of fun to be around in the room. He's a good teammate and a phenomenal goalie. And, you know, like I said earlier, he's entertaining as hell. So, you know, he's a great guy to have on the squad.
Love hearing stories about guys like that who are now getting comfortable just being in North America. And I'm glad that you spoke up to him, Igor, to let him know what he should be doing.
Yeah, just something I went through, you know, and like I said before, it helped me that I didn't have any countrymen, you know, when I came over here. And I just hear too many stories where the guys coming over from different countries and they have their countrymen with them. And then 10 years later, they're, you know, can't say 10 words. Like, you know, it just doesn't feel good.
I even talked to Ovi about that early in his time over here. And he tried to do movies as much as he could. Movies that he had seen translated before and then picking up on seeing them here.
That's smart, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
For sure.
How about your goaltenders right now, the way they're playing? UC Soros, Kevin Lankinen. You guys, it doesn't matter who you put out there. You got to feel pretty confident.
They're crazy good. I mean, you know, Juice is everything he's hyped up to be. And, you know, even, you know, Lanky, like, when Lanky's playing, he's playing at a crazy good level too. So, you know, they're keeping us in games that maybe sometimes we don't deserve to be in and, you know, helping us earn all the points we can get. So they've been phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes it feels like, you know, feels like they're the same goalies. They're so good.
Yes.
You know, like, they keep us in games sometimes. Obviously, you know, in NHL, every team got a great goaltending, but you know, having two goalies, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
Lankinen told us on the show on Smashville Live when he was a guest earlier in the season that he likes to do a lot of reading books on the road. Have you guys witnessed Lanky doing that?
I have not, but I have. I sit beside Juice on the plane sometimes, and he always has an iPad, and he's always watching his own game film. So he's always studying his craft, which I think is pretty
cool.
Wow. I haven't seen Lanky reading, though. I won't lie. I'll take a look out for that, though.
Okay.
I did see it because I was sitting with Yakov Trenin on the plane, and Lanky was sitting with his legs up and reading the book at one point. So I saw that, yeah.
So should I bring a book for Lankinen on this trip?
Sounds like it, I
guess.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Pick one.
Yeah, yeah, do it.
He had a little one. He had a little one. So you figure it out yourself.
Yeah, well, bring it for him. It's not for you, Pete.
No.
Pete's the best sleep you'll get. I wish I could do what Pete Weber does. Wheels go up, he's out. Wheels come down, he's back up.
I love it.
I've never seen it before in my life. I wish I could do that. I can't do it.
As the wheels begin to roll, I drop off.
All right, we'll come back. We'll let these guys meet some more fans, and then you fans can ask some questions here at Brewhouse South to wrap up Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Boy, DJ Chase is spinning the good tunes back there.
He doesn't even know what he's doing right now, Jared.
He's keeping me awake.
He's ready. He sounds like he is ready to race out of the building at 7 o'clock. That's what it sounds like. Back here on Smashville Live, we are here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila, pure and simple. Darren McFarland, Pete Weber, Igor Afanasyev, and Luke Evangelista here in the house tonight. Predators will take on the Blackhawks tomorrow night, and then a little matinee hockey on Saturday when the Winnipeg Jets come to town. The return of Nino Niederreiter.
Yes, and the first of two games against them going down the stretch. One here, one up there.
That's right. And then, as they say, business is going to pick up, including that Winnipeg game. It's going to, what, New York, right? You're going to be MSG, is that right? Rangers?
MSG, yeah, on Sunday.
On. Sunday,
Tuesday
Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
Seattle back here.
Back-to-back Seattle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back to that is a strange – I don't think I've seen that very often.
When I was with L.A. and we merged with the WHA, we had two game trips by Winnipeg into each city. So to cut down on their travel costs.
Well, I know minor league baseball, as you know, they've been doing that. They come in now for these 5 and 6 game series as opposed to 3 and 4. So they basically come in and do a week instead of 3 or 4 games.
Guys, we got 3 and 3 down in American Hockey.
So that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a couple 3 and 3s, right?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get back home middle of the night Sunday and play an afternoon game.
We had one. Yeah, we played in Iowa. Got on the bus and got home at 5:30 a.m., 6 o'clock, and then played that afternoon.
So, oh.
Yeah.
How did you do?
I think we won. Yeah, we won the afternoon game. Yeah.
Of course,
so.
I don't even remember. Yeah.
It was a fever dream. Yeah, it was just a dream. Yeah, yeah.
That is brutal scheduling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, let's go out in the audience. Gates is standing by with a microphone and a Preds fan. Who do you got, Gates?
Hi, I'm Ella. I love nicknames, so I gotta know, what do I call you? What are your favorite nicknames?
Well, we call him Goat or Goater or E-Goat, any of those.
E-Goat?
Yeah, E-Goat. And then usually mine is Vange.
Okay, those are great. Thank you.
Sure.
So I asked you because we have people tweet in questions. Hashtag AskPOP when we record those. And we read those. And somebody suggested, what should be your fan base? What should your fan base be called? And somebody suggested calling them evangelists. Now, I told you it was corny. I laughed and probably showed my age. But you actually, I don't know if you were just being nice, Luke, but you seemed to be okay with that. Have you thought about it anymore?
No, yeah. I'm fine with that one. I mean, I'll take whatever I can get. If people want to have a fan base around my name, like, I'll take whatever I can get. So, no, I don't mind that at all.
You're in the South. You know, I think evangelist could work.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. I liked it.
We'd have a tent gathering.
So, who comes? E-Goat, how do you feel about that?
E-Goat, I feel great, you know. Goat, as everybody knows,
right,
greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's add an E-Goat, you know, Igor, E-Goat. I don't know. Someone, I think it started on Twitter.
Really?
The fans, when I got drafted and stuff, some fans started tweeting it out. And
I recall
just,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just picked up like that.
And it stuck.
And guys call me that now, and I love it, you know.
That's fantastic. All right, Gates, who else do you have?
I'm Miley, and I was wondering, how old were you when you started playing hockey?
probably like actually like started skating, you know, with a little chair. I was probably 3 years old, but you know, I joined the team, I think, when I was around 5-6 years old.
Yeah, I was probably same, like just started with road hockey in my backyard, probably like 3 years old, and then first year of actually playing with like a team was probably like 5 years old. Yeah, so it's been a while.
So you started with roller?
Just like road hockey. Yeah. Just in the backyard, yeah.
Did you guys always know this was the path you wanted to pursue, or was there another sport you were flirting with?
I played, you know, sports in the summer. Like, I played soccer and baseball growing up, but I always knew, like, hockey was my number one. I always wanted to be a hockey player, so, yeah, I love hockey.
Me, personally, you know, I was playing basketball. I was doing swimming. I was playing soccer. I was doing a lot of stuff when I was a kid. You know, my parents were all about, like, development.
Yeah.
Me, you know, shaping me up. And obviously, hockey wasn't that crazy, you know, and probably around 10 years old, we started, you know, training a lot and doing stuff like that. And then that's where I knew that that's my passion and stuff.
So if you had to pick the second best one, what were your – I'll start with you, Igor. What was your second best sport? Which one of that – everything you did as a kid, which one were you the best at?
I always loved basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could hoop it up.
Exactly, yeah. 1v1, let's go.
Well, you are 6'4", so that's a good start. Yeah. I mean, you weren't 6'4 then, but so you liked basketball. You were pretty good.
Yeah, I did. I was actually a captain of the team. I don't remember how we were, like how old we were, but I think we were like 6 years old and stuff. But I don't know. I was a captain for some reason.
So will you be watching March Madness? Will you be watching the tournament? Or?
Yeah, I'll be watching March Madness, you know, but obviously the most I love NBA playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we should take you to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, we down in Milwaukee, we always go to
the Bucks,
the Bucks games. Yeah. And I love those.
Giannis with Philip is now part of the ownership group of the Nashville SC.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't even know where that came. Giannis, I don't even – but that was pretty interesting. So, Luke, your second best, was it soccer or baseball?
I started out soccer at a young age, but then probably I switched to baseball in the summer, so I'd probably say baseball.
Were you pretty good?
Yeah, like I played rep. I wasn't elite. I wasn't one of the better ones on the team, but yeah, I was good enough to make the rep teams, you know, so decent, I guess.
Home run?
No, I was just like, I was the leadoff hitter. I was a speed guy. I just got on base, stole a couple bases. I wasn't really a power hitter.
Hey, tone setter.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Let's
go
back.
Could have been Devin White of the Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly.
We got two more.
Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Gates.
Hi, I'm Susan, and I want you to tell me the truth. So when you were in Milwaukee, did you have a bag packed in case you got called up, or did you just chuck it all in when you got the call?
No, I don't know about go, but I definitely didn't have a bag packed. It was kind of just panic mode once I realized I was going up and threw a bunch of stuff in a bag.
Yeah, like, you know, I said before, I kind of got a call at 11:30, and at 6 a.m. our manager was picking me up. And, you know, I kind of wish that I had the bag ready, but I just, I was in scramble mode, and, you know, I had four shirts with me and, you know, a couple of pairs of jeans. Yeah, it was just a full scramble mode.
Were you on the road when you got the call?
No, I was at home. Yeah.
Okay.
Gates, is that it?
Because he had
you got time for one more.
He had somebody who was sort of shy.
Yeah, we're going to – this is called peer pressure.
Hi, my name's Chance. I play for the Junior Preds. What's some good hockey advice?
Oh, Chance.
There you go,
good
advice.
Question.
That's a good question.
Hey, buddy. I just think, you know, for me, I just think you got to have passion. You got to love what you do and, you know, keep working on your craft. Sometimes you're going to go through tough times, you know, but it doesn't matter because you just got to keep your head up and work through those tough times because they'll make you stronger at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'd say just always remember to have fun. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a game, you know. Once it starts feeling like a job or a chore, then it's not fun anymore. You'll fall out of love with it. So just make sure you're always having fun, buddy.
How you guys doing, Chance? Are you guys good? Junior Preds, yeah? Thumbs up? All right. Keep up the good work. All right, guys, before we get out of here, it's been fun. Chicago tomorrow night, what do you think? You just saw them on the road.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. We had a really tight one with them on the road, and like Goat said earlier, there's no easy games in this league. So, you know, we're going to come out hot, hopefully, and end up with 2 points.
Yeah, you know, especially the so they beat Boston.
Yes.
You know, best team in the league, 6-3, 5-3, whatever yep. it was. You know, obviously you gotta get ready and be prepared for that game.
How do you not let – you guys seem very loose.
Thank you.
You seem like you're having fun. But how do you – you also know that, you know, every win, you guys – the Winnipeg game could be huge. You guys could be in the playoffs this
Saturday
weekend.
Afternoon.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon you could be in the playoffs. How do you not let that pressure get to you?
I mean, I think, you know, the whole squad is kind of watching the standings and everyone's aware of what's going on. But like I just said to Chance over there, at the end of the day, it's hockey. You know, you just gotta have fun with it. And, you know, we're having a blast. We're having a blast these last couple weeks. And, you know, the more you win, the more fun you have. So it's the best of both worlds right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, definitely I agree with Vange. And I think in that room, you know, all the guys are professionals. And, you know, they know what they're working for. You know, they know what they're playing for. And I think there's not much pressure for the guys good. In the room.
Keep playing loose, guys. You look good. Good luck with everything. And let's hope indeed we're talking about a playoff team this weekend. Guys, thanks so much for coming
yes.
out. Thank you all for coming out here tonight. For Pete Weber. For our very special guests tonight, Igor Afanasyev and Luke Evangelista, I'm Darren McFarland. Until the next Smashville Live, we shall see you then. Stay tuned. Preds Insiders is next.